When we give ourselves to God, we need to give ourselves unconditionally and completely. God's looking for the whole offering. We're going to talk about again tonight how in the areas where we do not yield, we allow darkness there, and where darkness is, evil can be. And so the key is to yield completely to the Holy Spirit, so there'll be no darkness in us at all, no foothold, no strongholds, no place for the devil. Give no place to the devil. God wants to bring order to our disorder. Only He can do it. We can try to create the right atmosphere around us, everything just right in our little, whatever it is, country club life that we try to create on this earth. But how many know that's just, it's not reality. We're in a war, but we're on the winning side. And we have a God who is with us and for us, and He has already gone before us. Jesus has overcome the world, and that makes us an overcomer as we abide in Him, and we allow Him to abide in us. Lord, we just pray for more revelation, more light. Lord, Your Word is light. The entrance of Your words brings light. So we ask that we hear Your voice tonight, Lord, the voice of the Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, the lover of our souls. Lord, You said, "My sheep hear My voice, and another they will not follow." Help us to discern and hear Your voice, Lord, to distinguish Your voice, that we would not listen to all the other voices, but Your voice, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, if my mother was to be on the other side of a wall, and there was a whole room full of ladies, and they're all talking among themselves, I would be able to distinguish my mother's voice from the rest of them. Even in nature, that is true. Baby animals recognize their mother's voice. Smell, everything, you know, everything about the mother. And so, likewise, you and I are to know the voice of Jesus so that we can distinguish His voice out of a multitude of voices and know when the shepherd is speaking, because there's a lot of voices speaking. But when we discern, and our ears are, not these ears, but you know, the ears of our hearts are tuned to recognize His voice, we can pick His voice out of a multitude of voices and know this is Jesus speaking. How many of us have been duped by the other voices before? I have. So we learn to discern God's voice through experience, through intimacy with God, through communion with God, time with Him, getting acquainted with Him. Amen? Just like we get to know each other because we hang out with each other and we share time together. So it is, we get to know God's voice through time in His Word. Amen? Allowing God to reveal His heart to us. We study Scripture because Scripture reveals the living God to us. We got to get beyond just the study of Scripture to the person of Jesus Christ. That's life. To know Him is eternal life. And to know His voice is eternal life. Because He says, "My sheep will not follow another one. They hear, they know, they identify My voice. And I know them, and I give unto them eternal life." Who does He give eternal life to? He gives eternal life to those who hear His voice, who follow His voice. Because He said, another one they will not follow. My sheep know My voice, and they follow Me. And I know them. So we're getting acquainted with Jesus. We're getting to know His voice, be able to distinguish His voice from every other voice, because only His voice is truth. Only His voice gives life. Amen? And we need to cultivate this relationship with the Lord, not just when we're here together, but, amen, personally and daily walking with Jesus in a crucified life. We've been talking about the cross, the work of the cross. Like Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ in me. This is now my life. He's my life now. He's my future. He's my all and all. And in that relationship with Him, in the purpose of God, we find our completeness in Christ alone. Amen? If we try to be complete in Christ and in other stuff and other things, you'll never be complete. Your completeness is only in Christ. And when He is first, amen, and we seek the kingdom of God above everything else, then He brings everything into order in your life. Everything will follow in the right direction. We are not to pursue things, temporary things. We are to pursue God. Amen. And God will take care of temporary things. When we seek relationships, even among ourselves, we need to seek God first. Amen. And then God will bring the right relationships into our lives. The problem is we pursue relationships before we pursue Him. And we get these other voices that begin to speak. And we're deceived by these voices to think that, I mean, that must have been God because, man, she was a fox, you know. She was nice. That's got to be God, you know. I mean, you know, you can get a pretty face but an ugly heart, amen. I got a beautiful, beautiful wife and a beautiful heart too, so. And I'm just thankful for my wife, amen. Guys, say the same to your wife before you get in trouble, right? Say, honey, I sure appreciate you. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your kindness, Your goodness, Your grace. Thank You for hearing our prayers tonight. Thank You for setting us free, Lord, captives free. Lord, and You keep us free. Teach us tonight, Holy Spirit. Unveil our hearts, our eyes to receive Your word tonight. We want to be changed, Lord. We want to become like You. We want to act like You. We want to be like You, Lord. We want to be transformed. We ask You to do this work in our hearts tonight. And grant me utterance to speak tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to try to, as quickly as possible, kind of just do a review of this morning and then get into where we had left off. Genesis 1, verse 1. One bite at a time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form. The earth was without form. And that word form means wasteland, desolate wilderness. Listen, that word form means worthless or place of confusion. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was this place that was a place of confusion or chaos. It was in a chaotic state. And it says that it was also void. It was without form. It was desolate, worthless, place of confusion. It was a wasteland, but it was also void. And that means to be empty or to be in a vacuum. So there was an empty place, okay, that was also in chaos. And there's a reason why this, and we're going to look at this again. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God divided the light from the darkness. So this was the state of the earth before God began speaking to it. Before the word of the Lord came, the earth was what? Without form and void. It was in a chaotic condition and it was empty. It was not inhabited, at least not with humanity, right? Or anything good that we now see. So God spoke into this darkness, and there was light. And the question that I asked this morning is, what is evil? Where does evil come from? If God is good, did God create evil? Well, I believe this is the answer to that question. That evil is wherever God is not. Wherever God is not, it's evil. People who live evil lives live in darkness where God is not. An evil spirit, amen, lives in darkness. The earth was void. There was a vacuum. There was empty places. Amen? It was an empty place. And so you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are God's house. And the devil, the demons, they also are looking for a place to be, to dwell. They look for human beings or even animals. They look for some place that's not a dry, desolate wilderness place. Amen? But a place where there's moisture or water. How many know that we're about, 80% or something water? But they look for vessels, and they look particularly at humankind, because Satan knows that the only way, he can't get to God, but he can only get to God by getting to us. So he is looking to dwell in the hearts of human beings, in the minds even, in the soul, and even attach himself to bodies. He's looking for some place to camp out, and the only place where evil can exist or be is in darkness or in the place where God is not. So far, so good. So if you and I, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, allow, okay, Satan to have a place in us, because we refuse to allow God to have us, then he can dwell in that unclean place. When God says, stop it, for example, and we resist and say, I don't want to, we have just resisted the grace that could have been ours, because God would never tell us no unless he was going to provide the grace for us to overcome it. He would never say, don't do this, without providing the grace for you to be free from that thing. So the enemy is looking for a place of safety, if you will, where he can hide out or camp out in human beings. And those places are dark places where we have either not been privileged to hear the truth or the light of God's word. Because the entrance of his word brings light. Light exposes darkness, drives out darkness. Darkness cannot stand against the true light of God. Amen? So he's trying to get you and I to agree with him, to listen to his voice. Remember, we talked about hearing voices. And wherever we show sympathy towards the devil in our lives, or we refuse to hear God's voice and do what he says, or we have not been privileged to hear the word of God spoken, even as God spoke to the void, amen, spoke to the chaos, and brought order out of this disorder. So if we want to have our lives orderly, in God's order, we have to allow the word of God, amen? We have to receive the word of God, or the light of God's truth, so that the darkness no longer can have a place in us. You see, he came unto his own, but his own did not receive him. That was the problem. If we don't receive him, if we don't receive his truth, his revelation, then we're giving place to the enemy in the areas where we rebel against God's word. And therefore, in those areas where we rebel, the enemy comes in, and he's not there to be your friend. He may try to make you believe he's your friend, but he's actually there to destroy you. He's there to create chaos in our lives. God wants his people, his temple, individually and corporately filled with the Holy Spirit. But God cannot fill us if we are unwilling to yield to his voice. If we're unwilling to listen to his instructions and even his corrections, then we are giving place to the devil, Are you hearing me? Because it is a void, and it's in the void where the enemy can be. Wherever God is not, that's where Satan can park. Amen? He can camp. But if God is there, he can't cohabitate. That's why there's a separation between light and darkness. Amen? They do not cohabitate. This is just another way to present this, folks, to us in a way where we need to understand that when God speaks to us, he speaks to us out of love. You know what? The Word of God is His love letter to us. You've all heard that. But it really is God's heart for us. God wants to bless His people. He wants to make us a blessing, amen, in the earth, as He did Abraham. God wants His people to be holy. He wants us to be totally His. He does not want us to cheat on Him. He doesn't want us to have other gods or other lovers. He wants us to be totally His. He doesn't want the people that He died for, the people that He loves, giving themselves over to demons, amen, or teachings of demons even, wrong teaching, because that's going to bring destruction in our lives or chaos in our lives. You see, God can set us free, but if we don't remain free, the enemy's going to come back. Are you hearing me? And the only way to remain free is to give no place to Him and allow God to fill me up in the areas of the void. The empty places. Amen? He needs to fill the empty places in my life. It's called sanctification. We want to be completely filled with the light of God, the Holy Spirit. We can give no place to darkness because it's in the darkness where the enemy can operate. He knows that wherever Jesus is, he can't be there. Amen. So evil exists because there are voids where God is not. And if you look on the earth today, look at the news, look at our nation, where our nation, some of you have been around for a few more years, even than I've been in. You've seen a lot of changes. I've seen a lot of changes in my lifetime. At one time, I was part of the problem myself. But when we look at America, for example, what we are seeing in the natural is a result of a spiritual problem. The reason it's crumbling is because there is a void. And when somebody says, we don't want God in the school, we don't want the Bible in the school, we don't want prayer in the school, we don't want God in our nation, we don't want crosses in our nation. Are you hearing me? Whenever people reject God's sovereign right to rule our nation, are you hearing me, and its people, then what happens is we have given license for the adversary who creates chaos to come in and dwell in human beings. Not only will he destroy the individual who yields to evil, but then he will begin to destroy the nation. And innocent people who don't do anything even wrong, haven't done anything wrong, are often victimized because of someone who is not willing to listen to God. And God gives you and I the freedom to choose. He won't take our will away. But if we do not submit our will to His will, then we give access to the enemy to not only destroy us, and isn't it interesting that he doesn't do this overnight? He just gets us little by little. It's like a carrot on a stick. And he just draws us in little by little. You know, he starts out through the eye gate usually. He shows us something very appealing, something we want to look at or something we want to hear. And he begins to lure people deeper and deeper into deception. So the solution to this is for you and I not to have any voids in our hearts, amen, in our lives. Every part of us has to be surrendered, has to be yielded to God. We have to have a heart that is open and receptive, or humble, if you will, to receive what God says. Jesus said, how hard it is, for example, a rich man to enter in through the eye of the needle. Now, we always focus on just the rich man. But folks, what he's really talking about is pride. It's not the money. It's the pride of man that keeps them from entering into the kingdom. A camel, amen, is too large to go through the eye of a needle. But a little amoeba or whatever those things are, they can go easily into that eye of the needle, right? Because they're small. And when a person is small in their own eyes, they're in position to receive God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness. When I'm small in my own eyes, I'm not puffed up in my pride. I'm not proud of my accomplishments. I realize that if anything was accomplished through me, God deserves the glory for it. Amen? Amen? It's not of me, it's of Him. And if God is speaking to us, folks, and we refuse to listen to Him, what it means is that I have exalted myself against the Word of God. And I have said, no, I will not have this man to rule over me, or this God to rule over me, or the man Christ Jesus. Are you hearing it? We're saying no to God. And in other words, I'm going to be my own God. I will submit to no one. And that's exactly the deception that Satan wants to draw us into, is that you don't need to bow to any. You become your own God. Why? Because he wants us to reject the revelation that God has given to us about himself, so that it creates a vacuum in us for him to inhabit, and even to counterfeit in many cases the true work of the Holy Spirit, where it's not the Holy Spirit working through somebody. Amen? There are evil spirits that impersonate the Holy Spirit. And this morning I talked about it. You can be talking to somebody who has all the Christian jargon, has all the right terminologies, you know, they can quote scripture, and they're saying the right things, but in the spirit there's something not right. Have you been there? Huh? You met people like that? Where in the spirit you're saying there's something not right. They're saying the right thing, but their spirit is not right. There's something wrong. Either there's an infestation or it's a different spirit altogether speaking. Are you hearing me? And see, a religious spirit impersonates the Holy Spirit. And they can do readings. They can have words of knowledge. The demons can do these things too. Are you hearing me? And so we need the Holy Spirit, and we need to be yielded and submitted and humbled before God so He can have us and totally possess us and open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to discern good and evil, to know what's of God and what's not. So that even though somebody may do miracles or speak the right thing, we can discern in our hearts that that's God or that's not of God. I'm learning to hear His voice so that when another voice is speaking to me, I'm saying, wait a minute, that's not the voice of Jesus. I identify His voice. I can pick His voice out in a crowd, just like I can my mom. Amen? And it says that darkness was on the face of the deep. You know, again, in God there's no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Back to Genesis 1 and verse 2, it says darkness was on the face of the deep. Now, that word darkness, I looked it up. This is what it means. Literally, it does mean darkness. But figuratively, it means misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, night, obscurity. See, we have one English word, but in the Hebrew they have multiple meanings for their words. So darkness literally means misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, night, obscurity, all those things. You understanding? Are you making the connection? That where the enemy is, that's the fruit. That's the fruit of Satan. Amen? The fruit of the flesh, even the flesh of the sin nature. And so this, again, was the condition of the earth before God spoke to it. If God, again, was to totally remove His presence from the earth, we would be right back to where it was. Amen? Chaotic and empty. The reason why we see the good things again in this life is because God's presence is still here. As the angels sing to Isaiah, remember, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. The angels said, what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, right? The whole earth is filled with His glory. The reason we have goodness in this world is because God's presence is still here. Amen? And God's presence is to dwell within His people. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are to be filled with the light of Christ. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that people will see the light, amen, that we are the light and we are the salt of the earth, and we can point them to Jesus, the true light, amen. But if you take away God's presence, folks, amen, how many know the day is coming when God's going to start taking His hand off? I think He's already taken His hand off, especially where there's rebellion and rejection of His righteous rule in nations. God takes His hand off, and whenever He takes His hand off, guess what? The enemy moves right in. Why? Because there's a vacuum. There's a void in our nation, in our people, you know, and the people that are called by His name, the believers, the followers of Jesus. Amen. We have got to get our heart right, get our house in order, make sure that we get all that stuff taken care of. Amen. That everything that's crooked is made straight. If it's out of the way, God, I say, bring it into order. I want, amen, because that narrow way leads to life. And wide is the road that goes to destruction. And most people are going that way. Folks, the church in America needs to be evangelized. The church in America is in deception. We live for ourselves. It's a self-centered, self-focused gospel. It is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him utterly disown himself, take up his cross and follow me. And I have discovered that when I follow and walk with Jesus, there is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? Amen. There is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom of God. In the areas where God says no or let it go, hallelujah, I get rid of it. Why? Because I don't want any voids. I don't want the enemy camping out. If he says stop it, you better stop it. God will not be mocked. You know, those of us who have kids, you know, children, we want our children to be happy, blessed, amen, fulfilled, prosperous, amen. We want our children to do well. And it grieves us when they don't believe us or if they disobey our word. It grieves us. Why? Because we're just mad because they didn't listen to us? Amen. You understand, God is love. God loves us. But God can't help His children even if His children are unwilling to choose His way. And whenever we refuse His way, we have a void and give access to the demons to come and mess with us. And addictions or whatever it is, if God says stop it, folks, we've got to stop it. No more excuses. You know what the enemy says? Make an excuse for it. I'm only human. It's an excuse. We don't have to be bound by sin. Jesus already broke the power of sin. Amen. And if you think I'm up here today speaking as someone who's just, you know, has got it all together, and folks, I'm in this with you. I have my moments too. I have my weaknesses too. You know, unless you walk in these shoes, you really don't know what I have to deal with too. Not only do we have our own things to deal with, our own lives, our family, but we also have the congregation and a lot of other things and other people's problems. And I'm not complaining, amen. But I want you to know that if it wasn't for God's grace, I'd be a basket case by now. I'd probably be bouncing off a pink room somewhere. But it's God's grace that is sufficient for us if we're willing to just say, okay, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'm ready. I'm your servant. I've lived for myself. I've lived my life the way I wanted to, the way doing what I want, when I want, how I want. Now, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to die daily. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to say, Jesus, my day belongs to you. Show me the way, Lord. I'm ready. And just begin to walk it out. And as you begin to walk it out, you will begin to identify His voice through experience with God in day-to-day life. By reason of use, right? We mature to know the voice of the Lord, to discern what's of Him and what's not, to know His voice. It's so important for us. Amen. How many just are feeling like, yeah, this is what I need to hear because, you know, I really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants us saturated, you know. He wants to saturate us with Himself because we don't have anything to offer Him except the fruit of His Spirit. Are you hearing it? We can do good things for God, but if it's you and I doing it, it's nothing. There's no reward. It's wood, hay, and stubble. But when we hear His voice and we do what He says, even if it means I'm going to be uncomfortable in doing it. I found that God has made me uncomfortable before when He's told me to do something that my flesh was saying, oh, I don't really want to do that. But the other part of me says, well, I better do that. Are you hearing me? I fear God. And I want God, you know, to receive glory. I want God to receive honor. I want my life to honor Him, glorify Him. I appreciate God. I mean, I appreciate what He's done for me in my life. Folks, He went to the cross for us. Man, Jesus bled and died for us. He paid our price for us. It's our reasonable service now to say, God, the rest of me, the rest of my lives, come on, we need to get sold out and on fire for Jesus again. Amen. If we've compromised and we've fallen back and we've been given access and allowing the devil through compromise to come on, he just keeps encroaching in on you. So I'm going to run into something, you know, and he'll keep coming at you. And you know what? Jesus said, if the house has been swept and clean, you know, and that demon's been cast out and God has forgiven you, God has cleansed you. You know, he's going to go through dry places seeking refuge. And if he finds none, guess what? He's going to be coming back. Well, I know that old house that I just left. Let's see if there's an opening there. And he comes back and he said, and he finds it swept and clean. And what does he do? He says, okay, this time we're going to gang up on this one. Why? There's a void. The house is empty. It's clean, but it's empty. That's what happens, folks. People get clean, but they don't get filled. And they don't get filled in certain areas of their lives because it's more than just singing songs. Are you hearing me? It's about worshiping God by obeying His voice. My sheep hear my voice. When we say yes to His will, light comes. When we reject God's word, God's will, there's darkness and there's confusion. There's chaos. And you see, it starts out with just a little bit of that. Just a little bit of chaos, a little bit of confusion. But then the enemy begins to gang up. The more that we compromise, the more of his boys he brings in. Are you hearing me? And the latter end is worse. Even for a believer, it's worse for a believer. Once they have received the revelation and the truth and they've been washed, are you hearing me? For them to turn away from the holy commandment, it becomes worse. It's not that you cannot be redeemed. It does mean that you're going to have more of a battle now because he's brought in the big guns and there's more of a fight now. And the enemy, when he has some territory, he's not going to give up very easily. He fights. We can come to church. We can pray. Amen? And we can even cast demons out. But if we don't resolve that I'm going to follow God and listen to His voice and absolutely refuse that sin nature in me, any place, amen? Anything. That part of me has to die. I have to starve out that old nature that wants to rebel against what God says. Because if we yield, the enemy steps right in. And once he's got a foothold, then he starts bringing the others in, because usually one compromise leads to another. We've all heard it said, right? How many of us got involved with drugs, you know? Started out with smoking cigarettes, and then it went to pot, and then it was, you know, whatever else. It just kind of got worse as it went along. Well, he didn't right away come and say, hey, I'm going to make you a heroin addict. Amen? He doesn't come in like that. He comes in subtly. Just a little compromise. A little sympathy for the devil. Just yield, crack the door, let me come in. Let's be friends. If you make friends with me, I won't bother you. If you compromise with the world, I won't bother you. The world will love you. Everybody will love you. You're just wonderful. When you start living for God, you start living holy, the world's going to hate you. Why? Because they're going to be blinded by the light that's coming out of you, because you're going to be in a position to be filled with God's glory. And yet God knows those who are his sheep that are out in the world right now. They're pre-Christians. There are many people, amen, that God has, amen, that are just waiting for someone like you and I to come up and share the good news of the gospel with. And the best witness we have is the Spirit of God bearing fruit through our lives, because we're yielding to the Spirit of God and we're saying no to darkness. We're refusing that part of us that wants to rebel against what God says. And when we obey God, then we receive the benefit of the blessing of his presence and the filling of God. Jesus said, if your eye is single, you know, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is injured or sickly, you know, or it's blurred, amen, you're only going to get partial revelation. So what we want is to be single focused. Amen. God's will, God's way for my life. That's my focus. I am fixing my eyes on the prize. I'm looking at you, Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We're looking at him. We're living for him. Amen. Every day we're in fellowship. We get together. We pray. We encourage. And we make ourselves available for God, amen, to work through every day. And this morning I shared 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, where it says, be sober. Amen. Be alert. Don't be smoking dope or whatever. Be sober and be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, 1 Peter 5:9, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, hear it, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. After you have suffered a while, he can settle us. Amen? What does that mean? It doesn't mean that you're going to constantly, all your life, have to struggle. You struggle with sin, okay, until sin loses. Once sin loses, it's dead. Amen? It can no longer... How many have discovered there are areas that used to be weakened, now they're a strength? It's no longer a problem for you. At one time, it might have been. If we resist sin, or the sin nature, really, that's the part of us that can be enticed by sin. If we resist our sin nature, that old man, then what will happen is the enemy will realize that he has no place in you. He will realize that even though I'm tempting him and I'm really working hard on him, and maybe I've even ganged up on him and brought others with me, this person is not going to yield. This person is going to resist him by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Amen? We resist him. And then God, hallelujah, brings the deliverance. And the enemy gives up. And what he does then is he looks for somebody else who's an easy target. He'll look for compromising Joe. You know, the Sunday saint punches his, you know, time card at the door, does his church thing. But yet Joe is all full of himself and his agenda and his life and not so concerned about Jesus except, well, I just want to keep peace with the man upstairs kind of thing, you know. He's going to look for the compromising Christian who's really not yielding themselves to the Spirit of God and to the Word. And once he sees that we're giving in, that we're compromising, then he's going to call in the other boys too. He say, over here, we've got someone who is open. We have discovered a void over here because they have resisted the will of God. Now we have legal access. You ever wondered why? You know, was it Joshua the high priest standing before the Lord, and Satan there also to resist him? There was a court scene in heaven, and Satan being the accuser of the brethren, pointing his finger. And Joshua, remember, and God said, and the Lord said, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Is this not a brand that's been plucked from the fire?" God was standing up. Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is our defense lawyer. He's the one that stands up for us. And yet Joshua was standing before the Lord. He was in position. And so when the adversary pointed the finger of accusation, he had someone defending him. But I want you to hear this. If we don't call on Jesus, if we don't trust in the Lord for our strength to overcome, then the devil actually does have legal right as a prosecuting attorney to point a finger and accuse us before God. And you know, the Lord is a God of justice, folks. Are you hearing me? And so we actually give permission for the devil to mess with us. Is this making sense? That's why we cannot have any voids. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we must say yes, totally yes to God. And no to the devil. We must say yes to the new man in Christ and no to the sin nature every day. And if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. He will realize that I ain't going to get anywhere with this one. You know, the devil's smart. People think he's stupid. He's not. He's smart. He knows those who he can't get to. He knows those who he can't mess with. And he knows those who are sold out for Jesus and those who are going to tell him to get behind me. Amen? And he's not going to mess with somebody who knows who they are in Christ and knows what they want. And we want Jesus Christ. We want his way. We want to go, amen, through the eye of the needle into heaven. Amen? Into glory. And there's a struggle that ensues when we step out in the direction of God's purpose and will, even as Israel, as they entered into Canaan, amen, they had to fight the giants. But God promised them the land and that God would defeat the giants. They just had to step out in faith in the name of their God and God would give them that land. The same thing is true. We need to step out in faith. God is with me. God is for me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The devil cannot make me do anything. The devil has no place in me. I don't want anything to do with that dude. He hates me. I want to go with Jesus. And so he realizes I'm wasting my time. He leaves. When he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he realized he was wasting his time. And Jesus, every time he spoke the word of God, amen, just like God did in the very beginning, he spoke his word into the darkness. Amen. Let there be light. And remember, this light was prior to the creation of the sun and the moon and the stars. That came out later in verses 5 or 6. So folks, God is with us. God is for us. we have victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. One more short passage of Scripture and we're going to be done, okay? Go with me to Romans chapter 7, verse 18. This is in New King James. Paul here is speaking about the struggle that he had going on inside him, just like you and I. And I know that I've heard people use this and quote this and even sermons about this, but they've taken some of these verses out of context and they haven't gone through the entire context of what he's trying to say. And people sometimes will try to use this verse or these verses to justify their sin. That is not at all what Paul is doing. Let's take a look at it. Listen, Romans 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, what is he talking about? That is in my flesh or my old man, my sin nature, nothing good dwells. See, God does not accept anything from the old nature. There's no fruit out of that nature. It's worthless. It has to be dead, put to death. Amen? We cannot please God in our flesh, only in the Spirit. Okay, I'm not talking about your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the sin nature in us. Okay, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. In other words, I want to do the right thing, but I have difficulty doing the right thing. For the good that I will do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Again, he's speaking of life under the law here. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. What is he talking about? He's talking about sin nature. Amen. When we're in Christ, there's two of us. There's an old sin nature and there's a new man created in Christ. So he's saying that when I will after the inward man, amen, to do the right thing. But then I see this law in me working. There's a fight going on with this old nature, the Adamic nature, amen, that wants to have its way. So I find that a law, verse 21, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Why? Because he's born of the Spirit. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And this is where, you know, the sin from the sin nature can actually then be transferred into actions that are done in our body or his members. Things done in the flesh, in the body. And so he says in verse 24, I said this before, have you? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now, this is where we need to continue, because it doesn't end at the end of this chapter. In context, it goes right through into chapter 8 and following. In verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, listen, with the mind, what mind? The mind that is renewed in Christ, the new man, the new mind. Oh, I serve the law of God. That's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. The law that's written in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's the new nature. So, amen? I live according to the law of the Spirit. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Now hear this. Is he saying that we have to listen, obey law, and be in grace too? No. That's not how I understand that. There's different interpretations of that. But folks, this is what I see. If you look at it in context, and what he's trying to say is he say, listen, there's two of you. One of you, one part of you is worthless if you're in Christ. It's completely useless. It can do nothing but give you trouble. There's a new you that's created in Christ Jesus according to the image of him. Amen? This new nature that's now in you that wants to serve, wants to submit, wants to obey God's voice. What he's saying is that we have to make a decision that we're going to walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not give in to the deeds of the flesh. We will not obey the sin nature if we walk in the Spirit. There's no distinction. He's not saying double-mindedness is trying to live both ways. Living by the law of sin and death out of my flesh, amen, to be a good enough person by my own righteousness, and then trying to be also a person who lives and walks in the grace of God. That's double-mindedness. You can't live under law and under grace at the same time. You've got to make up your mind, I'm going to walk in grace. I'm going to walk, amen, in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in new life. I'm going to walk in the power of the resurrection. I'm starving out and putting the old man to death. The devil can't get me, amen, as long as I keep that old man under. And I choose to feed my new man. Amen. Hallelujah. Feed my faith, the word and the prayer. Amen. And just being saturated in God's holiness. Because holiness is God in me making me holy. We are holy only because the Holy Spirit has us. And there is no void. We are completely holy, folks, when we are completely filled with Him who is holy. He makes us holy. Am I making sense? That's why we cannot allow voids, I'm almost through, in our lives. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's evil, amen, it's because there's a void. And we need God's word, amen, the entrance of God's word to speak light into the darkness. Amen. And it creates a separation of the two. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. So now we live by the law of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who makes us holy. And in a person who is unholy is a person who is motivated by an unholy spirit. Our flesh nature is subject to unholy spirits. The sin nature is sold, amen, to the devil. It cannot produce any holiness. So it has to be put to death. It has to be starved out. It has to be ignored. It has to be rejected. And I live now unto Him according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. With my mind, I serve the law of Christ. But with my flesh, I'm going to serve the law of sin and death. You can't have it both ways. Make up your mind, amen. Who are you going to serve? If you want life and peace, you need to be spiritually minded. That means I'm not allowing any access of the enemy because I'm not compromising with him anymore. When I used to compromise, you know what? I was miserable. Have you discovered that? Right? Every time we compromise, what happens? We feel miserable. Why? The same thing that was the problem with the earth. There was a void, and then there was a what? It was misery. Where there was darkness, there was misery. So when the light comes in, amen, and we yield to the light, we listen to the word, we yield to the word of God, we do what He tells us to do, we know His voice, we've discerned it. Now we have light. Now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you mess up, praise God, we can just run to Him. Amen.